2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is going to be a Mother's Day message, seeing how that is Mother's Day. It's good to celebrate mothers and remember mothers. Boy, what a bind we would be in if we didn't have mothers. Be a sad world, wouldn't it? So we thank God for mothers, and as a matter of fact, that's the name of the message this evening, is thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers, and you could put grandmothers in there as well. But we're going to look at a couple of women here in the Bible that had a tremendous effect and influence on a young man named Timothy. We're going to read the first seven verses. And if you want to pay attention to the beginning of verse number 3, it says, I thank God. And then Paul speaks about the faith of the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And the mother's name was Eunice, if I'm saying that right. And the grandmother's name was Lois. He says in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul the apostle is writing to young Timothy there, and of course Timothy is a convert of Paul, and he's also a young disciple of Paul. Paul taught him and led him along and showed him the faith and taught him how to preach and probably taught him the Bible as well. But he's writing to him and he says, I can't wait to see you. I've been praying for you. And I'm looking forward to you and I remember you in my prayers. But he says, I thank God for you. And then he talks about his mother and grandmother who had a great player, a great role in his life. And if it had not been for his mother and his grandmother doing what they ought to do, Timothy may not have been there that day doing what he was doing. And tonight I want to thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. We thank you for being gracious to us and merciful to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us a reason to assemble and to worship you and to just look into your word and learn about you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this evening to have open hearts and ears to hear and ready to receive what you have given to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say what needs to be said and refrain from saying things that are not needful, Lord. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in today's society, mothers play a vital role in the development of a healthy and godly society and home. When I was raised in my house, in my home, I thank God that He gave me a godly mother. I thank God for my mother. If it had not been for her, things would have turned out very differently. And she had a great influence on me. She was a good mother to us. And after I got married, God gave me a godly wife. She's a hard worker, and she's a great influence on our children, and she works hard. God has been gracious to me, and I don't know about you, but if you have a mother here this evening, a mother that loves God and took care of you and supplied your needs and was a great help to you, well, you can thank God for her. Amen. God was gracious to you and gave you a good mother. Amen. God was gracious to Timothy and he gave him a good mother and a good grandmother. And they did what they were supposed to do. They had faith in God and they passed that faith on to young Timothy. Yeah. I believe that in our day, in our society today, motherhood is very much being, well, downplayed, I guess you would say, or depreciated over the past years. And motherhood's kind of taken a back seat to different things in our society, it seems like. Not so much important anymore. You know, you have the career or something like that, and I'm not against women having careers. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of times motherhood takes a back seat to other things in life. But I believe that motherhood is the highest calling for a woman in the world, is to be a mother. A lot of people say, well, are you just a stay-at-home mom? Well, that's the wrong way to put it, I believe. That's a pretty high calling that you have there. That's the most important thing that you have, is being a mother or being a wife. Amen. That is the most important thing. And that's the highest calling that you have for a woman. I mean, let's face it, being a mom is not easy. I'm not a mom, so I don't know, but I've been around my mother a lot and my wife a lot, and I've seen the things that moms do. And a lot of times, mothers are put in the background. They're not appreciated. But can you imagine if your mom was not around, what wouldn't be getting done? The things that wouldn't be happening around your home? I mean, all of the roles that she has to play in a home, the things that she has to do. I mean, she has to be the counselor. She has to be the teacher. She has to be the listener. She has to be the master chef. She has to be the head cheerleader. She has to be the housekeeper. She has to be the taxi driver. She has to be the hairstylist. She has to be the janitor. She has to be the finance manager. She has to be the potty trainer. She's got to be the bodyguard. She's got to be the seamstress. And you could go on and on and on about the things that mothers do in a home. But they never get appreciated or singled out very much, maybe one day a week, but I'd like you to think of what your life might be like if your mom wasn't around. You didn't have her around. So if you have a mom here this evening, I want you to thank God for your mom. God has equipped mothers with special abilities that man cannot perform as well as women. God has a role for a man to play, and he has a role for a mom to play or a woman to play. And he's made you in a special and unique way to fulfill those things. Many times our women are more nurturing and more understanding than a man might be, and a man is more of a disciplinarian, those types of roles for a man. And God has made us that way. That's the reason that there needs to be a man and a woman in the household, if it's at all possible. That's the perfect way that a family ought to be. But the most important thing that a mother can do for her children is to teach them to honor and to love God. That's the most important thing. I mean, you might pass along a lot of traits to your children and a lot of different character qualities, but the most important thing that you can do is to teach your children to love God and to honor God. Timothy's mother and grandmother had a great influence on him. They taught him. They mentored him. They showed him the right way to serve God. And they were godly women. And they passed their faith on down to young Timothy. And I thank God for those mothers right there and for every mother here today. But there's three things that we want to look at as far as the faith goes for these women. Now, no doubt these women were hardworking women. I'm sure they probably kept the house clean, did whatever they had to do in their household to keep it going, but their most important trait that you want to look at here this evening is their faith. It's the faith that they had that they passed down to young Timothy. Number one, they had a genuine faith. It was sincere. It was nothing fake or showy or hypocritical about their faith. It was genuine. Number two, it was a giving faith. They passed it down to Timothy. They were able to pass it on down. And then number three, it was a growing faith. It produced fruit on out into the future. What kind of an influence are you going to have on the next generation of children? Is your faith that you have with you, is it genuine, and is it going to grow out into the future, and will you have an influence on other people after you're gone? The first thing we want to look at is a genuine faith. They had a genuine faith. It was not hypocritical. It was not fake. It was not a show that they were putting on. There's plenty of moms out there that might be religious, but when they get home, they take off the religious face and they put on another face. It's just a hat that they wear. But we must have genuine faith with our children. He says in verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking about a genuine faith, a sincere faith, not something that is false, not something that has pretense associated with it, not something that they are pretending to do. If you study the life of Timothy's mother Eunice, she was converted in Acts chapter number, I believe it's Acts chapter number 16, but she was married to a Greek man, and the scriptures seem to indicate that he was not a believer. So she was married to an unbelieving Greek man, and she was a Jew. She grew up in a Jewish home. She knew the Jewish scriptures. She knew all about the commandments of the Old Testament. She knew all of those things. She no doubt had been brought up in a regular Jewish home. But then she met Paul, and she was converted to Christianity, and she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So she had a faith. Not only that, she lived in the city of Lystra. Well, in the city of Lystra, there was persecution going on. They didn't like Christians a whole lot in the city of Lystra. We know that because Paul was stoned in the city of Lystra. And as a matter of fact, he died after they stoned him, and he got up after that. He was resurrected, but we'll not get into that. But we know that in Lystra, they were persecuting Christians. So there she was. She had an unbelieving husband, so we believe. And she lived in a city where they were persecuting Christians. But yes, she went right on. She had her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she kept that faith and kept on going in spite of the persecution, in spite of an unbelieving husband, in spite of all of those obstacles that she had in front of her. She had an unfeigned faith. It was genuine. When times got tough, well, she didn't throw in the towel and say, "Oh, that's it. I'm not believing in Christ anymore. My life has gone to pot. God must not love me. I'll go back to my old Jewish way." She didn't do that. She went straight forward. She had an unfeigned, sincere faith, even when she faced persecution. Her and her grandmother believed that the Word of God was, in fact, the Word of God, and they lived their life by it. It wasn't just something that they said. It was something that they did. And they had an influence on Timothy, their son and grandson. So Timothy saw the mom and grandma there, and he saw something that was genuine in them and made quite an impression on young Timothy because of the sincere faith that she had. I read a story the other day about a man who had a severe car accident. Boy, he was in a pretty bad shape. They had to take him to the hospital. They took him back there, put him on a gurney, took him back to the doctor's office or the ER, and they were going to work on him. They opened up his shirt, and lo and behold, he had a big tattoo across his chest. Beautiful tattoo. Said Jesus across the front of it, over his chest. The nurse that was working on him says, "I wonder if it's only skin deep. I wonder if it goes down to the heart or if it's only on the surface right there." That's the way a lot of Christians live, so-called Christians live their life. "Oh, I've got faith in Jesus Christ," until something happens and then it kind of falls by the wayside and they don't have that faith anymore. Is your faith genuine before your children here this evening, or is it only skin deep? Does it go down to the heart? Does it prick your heart? Does it move you to do anything? Yeah. Or is it only skin deep? Amen. That wasn't the case for Lois and Eunice. They had a genuine faith. It was more than just skin deep. We thank God for mothers with genuine faith. Your children are watching you. They're going to see if your faith is actually genuine or if it's fake, or if it's false. They want to know about that. They want to see that. They want to know if something's genuine with your mom and dad or if it's just something that we do on Sunday morning. Oh, we have to go down and go to church and then we'll be done with that for a week. And then Monday morning comes around and, hey, it's not so genuine anymore. They had a genuine faith. Is your faith genuine here this evening? Our faith must be more than just a bracelet that we wear on our wrist. Our faith must be more than just a cross that we wear around our neck. Our faith must be more than just a Facebook post. Our faith must be more than just a tweet that we put out there. It must be something that we live our lives by, something that pricks our heart and moves us to action, amen, not just a false faith. Amen. Because kids can see right through that. Kids know whether something is genuine or false. When things get hard in your life and things get difficult and you meet some persecution or something that is difficult in your life, do you still have the faith? Do you still turn to Jesus Christ? Do you still go to God in prayer? Amen. Do you still have that faith that you once had? Faith must be genuine. Hardships are going to come. Amen. Hard times are going to come. Are you going to go to God? Are you still going to have your faith in God? Job's life became very difficult at a lot of points. Old Job went through a lot of things. I remember one thing that Job said. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to keep going. The Lord may take my life, but my faith is still here. I will still trust the Lord." What about Job's wife? I don't think her faith was too genuine. You know what she said to her husband? "Why don't you go ahead and curse God and die?" I don't know that that faith was too genuine. Do you have faith, genuine faith here this evening? Our kids need to know that you have genuine faith. Job made it through his ordeal and came out on the other side blessed of God, and his faith was genuine, but he had to go through a lot of things. The great danger of not having a genuine faith is not being able to pass it down to the next generation. Amen. If your faith is not genuine, I wouldn't want to pass it down to the next generation. They need something that's real. That's what they need. You got to have a giving faith. You must have something that you can give down to your children, a giving faith. Look at verse number 5 again. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." He says, not only was it in your mother and your grandmother, now it's given to you and you have it now. I'm giving it to you. I'm passing it down. Amen. Are you passing down your faith to your children? The faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother did not die with them. Amen. It went on. It kept on going. Amen. They passed it down to their son and grandson. How they passed that faith down anyway? Was it some kind of trick? Maybe some kind of magic potion that they did or something like that? No, it wasn't. It was hard work and dedication. That's what it was. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Same book, two chapters over. Paul is still writing to Timothy. And he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." He said, "You've known those things that you've learned from a child." Amen. Who do you think taught Timothy those things from a child? It was his mom and his grandmother. Amen. They're the ones that taught him those things. Amen. If you're going to pass your faith down to the next generation, you're going to have to teach your children those things, or it's not going to get passed down. You have to teach them. His mother, Timothy's mother, taught him what the Bible said, and Timothy knew the law of God. He knew the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. He knew all of those things because his mother taught him those things. Taught him the Ten Commandments, taught him what God liked and what God didn't like, what God hated and what God loved. He knew all those things because of his mother and his grandmother. And then she passed down the gospel of Christ right straight down to him. Timothy was his mother's mission field. Said, man, I'm going to teach my son about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he passed it on down. So there has to be teaching and dedication, hard work and dedication. It says, and that from a child. Start when they're young. Don't wait till they get up to be older. You got to start right now. Amen. Maybe 3, 4, 2. Yeah. You don't even have to wait till they learn how to read. You can start reading to them right now. Of course, I know we don't have any young mothers in here. But from a child, he says. Well, they had to be dedicated year after year after year after year after year that kept on teaching Timothy. That's what it takes, is dedication. Dedication to teach your children. Plenty of mothers pass down different talents and characteristics to their children. Well, that passed down some time management skill, good work ethic, beauty, musical skills, talents, and discipline. They pass down all those things to their children. The most important thing you can do is pass down the Word of God, your faith, to your children. That's the most important thing. It's got to be a giving faith. You got to give it to the next generation. The most important treasure that you can pass down to your children is your faith in God. Why would you do that? Because God gave you those children. The only reason that you and I have children today is because of the grace of God. Amen. That's the only reason. God gave you those children. Why would you not teach them about the God that gave them life? Well, that's crazy. But it happens all over the place. You got to teach your children because God gave you those children. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse number 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You think about the woman named Hannah in the Old Testament. She had a son named Samuel. And boy, she wanted a son. And she didn't have one yet. And she prayed to God and she said, God, give me a son. Please, give me a son. I want a son. She wanted a son so bad, but God had closed up her womb. And she prayed to God and she kept praying. She kept praying and God gave her a son. You know what Hannah did with her son? I'm going to give him to the Lord. I'm going to let him serve God. I'm going to take him down there to the temple and let him serve God. I'm going to give him back to the Lord. Amen. Give your children to God. Mm-hmm. Let God have them. Teach your children to serve God. Teach your children to serve in the church. Teach your children to do all of those things and give them to God. Amen. That's the most important thing or the best thing that you can do. In order to pass down your faith, you must teach them and be dedicated. God gave us our children. And they should be our mission field. We must pray for them. We must teach them the gospel. Bring them to church. Pray for them and maintain a good testimony before them. That's the most important thing that we can do for our children. Furthermore, when you pass down your faith to the next generation, it will continue to grow and bear fruit on out into the future. Boy, I want to have a lasting influence out there in the future generations, don't you? I don't want my influence to stop here and now. I want to keep on going. I want to keep on having an influence. It says in verse number 6 of our text, back over in chapter number 1. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. He told Timothy, he said, man, get that thing stirred up on the inside because you're going to go out there and you're going to preach to other people. You're going to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Man, had it not been for Timothy's mother and grandmother, Timothy probably wouldn't have been a preacher. He wouldn't have told other people. Can you imagine how many people that Timothy taught and preached to and the influence that he had? I mean, he's one of the outstanding preachers of the New Testament, Timothy is. And it's all because of a mother and a grandmother that taught him the Bible. And he went out and preached the gospel. People got saved. Can you imagine the fruit that came from Timothy's ministry all because of a mother and a grandmother that stayed at home and taught Timothy the Bible? Amen. Influence kept on going and going. Look at here. We're in the year 2018 and we're reading the Bible and we're finding out about it. Influence is still going. Amen. still going? Are you going to have an influence later on in your life after you pass this life, or is it going to stop now? An influence for God, a godly influence. We thank God for mothers who continue to have a lasting influence long after they're gone. We thank God for those kind of women. Lots of women in the Bible that had a lasting influence on people. Think about women like Sarah. Man, she was so old she couldn't have children. She had to trust God and believe God. And she became the mother of a nation because she believed God. Amen. You talk about an influence. That's an influence old Sarah had. And her influence is still going on today. She became the mother of a nation, and from her came Jesus Christ, our Savior. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? God used her miraculously to bring the Savior into the world, and her life continues to bear influence to this day. Is your life going to continue to bring fruit for the Lord after you're gone? Are your children going to lead other people to Jesus Christ? Are they going to continue to live the Christian life? Is it going to continue to bear fruit out into the future? How much of an influence will you have on the next generation? I want my children, I want the children of this church to go out and to have a godly influence on the society that they're in. Amen. I don't want it to stop here. I don't want it to stop with me. And none of us should want the same thing. We should want it to go on and on. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on continuing to bear fruit on out into the future. Being a mother is the highest calling that you and I, or you could have, not me, but that you could have as a mother. That's the same thing with a parent, a dad as well, but you only get one chance to raise your children. You don't get another chance. So pass that faith on down to your children. Hey, maybe your children are already out of the house. You can be an influence on your grandchildren. You can have an influence on them. People that you know, you can mentor other people and have an influence on them. Are you going to pass that faith down? Is it a giving faith? Is it a growing faith? And is it a genuine faith? That's what we need here this evening from mothers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for being gracious to us and being kind to us, Lord. We thank you for giving us mothers who have taken care of us, who've watched over us, and who've taught us the difference between right and wrong and been a godly influence on us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to pass that down to the next generation and be an influence on them as well. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.